Welcome to another episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. I'm the guy who's on the other end of the webs and cans of bits of string that we call the interwebs, Crazy Joe Ryder. Corey, Goody Two Shoes, Rat Bastard, Strode is on assignment. Since I'm running solo today, rather than do it as a solo Joe, I thought what I would do is do a quick 101 on eBay, since I am reestablishing myself on the eBays, since the old, I don't want to be too negative about it, but if you're willing to bear with me, I talked about this, some years ago on my eBay section, just kind of an eBay 101, and that's essentially what this is. I'm going to go over most of the basics real quick if you've never set up an eBay account, and then get into some of the more advanced things that I do, because I was fairly successful at it. I mean, I wasn't enough to quit my day job, but enough to supplement my income to pay for all the goody-goody stuff that I like to talk about, all the new things coming in. So from the top, if you've never had an eBay account, go right to eBay. Set up an account is free. Finding a username will be tough. I've been on since 1998. I believe eBay started in 97, so I was able to get Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. You'll have to be a little more creative. Yeah, you don't want to be like Crazy 4607. It's not like doing a Gmail account, trying to find a decent name. Think hard. You'll find something unique that nobody's doing it. Now, to sell, you'll have to register a credit card, because that's how eBay charges you every month, depending on what you're going to do or how you're going to do it. What eBay does now, they used to just charge you the fees and take it from you, and then you could pay it via PayPal, whatever. Now they take the fees up front, which is kind of neat, because it used to be you'd get $100 and then you have to cough up $25 at the end of the month. So really you made $75, but you might have already spent the $100, and you see where I'm getting. Now you'll get the $80 and it's yours to do whatever. I recommend getting a separate charge account for just eBay, so that way you don't have to cross it with your personal account, anything like that. eBay does something called manage payments now, where they essentially, a buyer sends the payment to eBay. eBay hangs on to it for a few days, and then they give it to you. If you use PayPal, PayPal collects it, gives it to eBay. eBay saves it and then gives it to you, dumps it into whatever account you want. I do recommend using PayPal with eBay, because that seems to be the best way to do it. And again, it's a free account, but if you're going to have to set up a seller account, because PayPal will want to take a piece of the action too. Generally, between PayPal and eBay, it's about a fee of 20-25%. So not unusual, but considering how much it would cost to have your own website or whatever, I recommend having a separate bank account, because again, eBay is going to send these managed payments to your account. I used to have a free account. I think I still do through Huntington Bank. I may not. If not, check online. You can set up a free eBay account. A free bank account. And then you can also access it through credit cards, debit cards, checks, if you still use them. Want to set up a separate email for your PayPal? That's up to you. I use my Gmail. I do not get a tremendous amount of spam or junk mail from PayPal or eBay, so I just have it sent to my normal account. And then they also notify you, like, there's an offer waiting, there's people want to buy something, that type of stuff. So it's already, it's in one spot, ready to go. Obviously, you'll need a computer. If you're listening to me, you probably have one. I recommend a scanner. I have a separate camera. Some people can use their phones. Believe me, I just got a brand new phone, a Samsung SS, or was it 22 Plus or whatever. Beautiful camera. With my actual camera, I have a photo studio. It's one of those, I don't know, I've seen them like on catalogs for $100. I found mine for $20 on eBay. The big thing is eBay wants a white background, mostly for their mobile app. And if you have a complicated background, it makes it hard to load. So a lot of times eBay will insist on just having like a plain white background. You probably want that too, because it makes your photos stand out really well. For the conversation, I'm going to assume we're doing comic books, because that's kind of what Corey and I do. We talk a lot about comics. No boobies. Remember, that's how I got kicked off. And again, it's not eBay kicking off, it's people narking you out. So I've got all these beautiful Dynamic Forces high-end covers that go for hundreds of dollars on the Dynamic Forces website. But because they're all topless, So that, certain titles, you pretty much can imagine underground titles, Black Kiss, Tits and Clits, whatever. You know, just if you're not sure, you can look on eBay. If you don't see it, it's probably not allowed. If you aren't sure, you can always contact them, say, hey, can I have this title? Because, of course, that's how I got kicked off, trying to sell a Belladonna comic without any nudity, but it's one of their banned lists, and they don't have the list out in public, but you can always ask. So we're all ready to go. You got your comic book. Let me just, I'm going to go take a look. Let's just randomly grab one here. Here we go. I got a copy of Origin number 3. That's the one where they finally told the origin of Wolverine. This one happens to be signed by Joe Quesada and Andy Kubert. So we'll play with that. So first thing you want to do is take a scan. Some people use watermarks. That's where you actually put your photo on there so no one else can use it. I'm not that myopic. If you want to use my scan, whatever. Important thing for me is that I'm using an original picture. So if somebody wants to know, hey, is that the comic I'm getting? I can say yes. I sometimes include that you're getting, this is the actual scan of the comic. Most people, I think it's understood, but occasionally you'll get somebody that'll ask that question. So if you can mention it or not, it's your option. So for a new comic, when I take the scan, I like it tight. So all you're getting is the comic. Important thing in the past, I know show corners. Some people want to see close-up of the spine. What's cool about eBay is they have that magnification option on your pictures that's automatically there. So if somebody comes and looks at your picture, it'll give them an expanded picture. In other categories, not the comics and graphic novels category, you might have to pay a buck, so keep an eye on that. Be very specific. Show any damage if possible, either with a close-up. You're going to describe it definitely, but you do want to say if it is damaged. It's not near mint if it has a crease on the corner. Although if you mark it near mint, just say, hey, crease in upper right-hand corner, so there's not a surprise. For older comics, I do that tight one where it's no borders, but then I also do a bigger scan with borders of the front and back. That's so people, again, can browse through it and take a look at it. Because obviously, if you have a mint copy of Action Comics number 1, well, first of all, don't use eBay. Go to Heritage Auctions or somebody like that. But that way people can see what the condition is. Sure, you'll say it's good, it's fine, whatever. But that allows them to, again, they look at the corners, they look for creases, they look at the colors, things like that. Same thing on the back. I usually don't show the insides unless there's something major or some type of water damage or something. Like I had one issue where in the middle they had ripped out the top of a certain page. Now, this was a fairly rare comic book, so I was able to still sell it for what I consider a pretty decent money. But what I did is I showed that by taking a scan of it or a picture of it. Sometimes, you know, the old foil covers that were real big, gold foil, things like that, they don't scan very well. So I will take not only a scan, but an actual picture of it. Because a lot of times with a camera, you can get a better shot of it. And if you square it up, especially on a white border, you'll be able to put it on eBay without any problem. People know what the book is. Sometimes you're going to get those complex ones. Like there was a Fantastic Four issue where it was all white. Then there was one, I think it was Solar 10, all black. And you can kind of tell by looking at it that it was embossed and what the title is, but you just ain't going to be able to do it. So you're just going to have to take a picture of it, put a tight scan on it, and they're going to find it because you're going to use your title. We'll talk about titling stuff in a little bit. So that's pretty much the best thing. you can do for pictures. With comic sets, I have a wire rack. I just lay them all out. I do not take individual close-ups. You can put up to 12 pictures on eBay. eBay loves that. If I were to sell, say, a set of Immortal Hulk, I would probably do a tight scan of number one just to show it is indeed mint shape, and any other key books from that series. Any bonus books, like if they had some type of promotional giveaway, things like that. Think like Dynamite Comics variant covers. You know, you may have just certain covers. A lot of times I can just put, these are all the scans, the covers you will get. So that way people know what they're getting. A lot of times in that case, I'll also put, these are the copies of things you'll get. With graphic novels, I tend to scan the front and the back. A lot of times the back will have a really cool description of it. So if somebody's like, I don't think I ever heard about this. And that way they can look it up. Prints, arts, oversized comics like Treasuries. Obviously, you're going to have to use a camera unless you got a big, big scanner. Try to minimize the background, keep them white. Toys, I mentioned toys because I do sell them. With toys, you got to get more specific because obviously they want to know if the figure is mint. And 9 times out of 10, inside the package, figure's mint in the package. The package, now you got to be real fussy about, just like with comic books. Are the corners square? Are the any creases? Is the blister clear, not yellow? Is it attached to the card? Those are the type of details you want to put if you're going to be successful selling toys. Even in terms of like graphic novels and books and things like that, if it's mint shape, great. If it's got a little ding on it, you can say it's got a ding on it. If you don't and they find it, they might get upset. Sometimes you can get away with just saying, hey, this has some shelf wear on it, no big problems. That's how you take care of that. eBay also offers you videos. I've not used this function, and I really can't comment on it, but I could think that would be kind of cool, especially when you're showing off, say, an older key book or perhaps a toy. You could take a quick video showing the close-ups of the comic or a 360 of the toy, things like that. So keep in mind, that stuff eBay does that you can play around with really well. Now for the descriptions. You really got to be accurate. Your spelling should count. You know how it is when you look at something, things like, that's kind of off. He doesn't know how to spell Spider-Man. Hyphen, not hyphen. I don't think it matters. You can find it. But again, with a new comic, if it's near mint, it's near mint. I never advertise things mint. Near mint is basically 9.0 to about 9.3 or so. Unless you CGC it, it doesn't really matter. So you just say it's a new comic, near mint, variant cover, whatever. Your key for any of this will be the title, because that's where they're going to find it. eBay doesn't have categories anymore, which is great. Just everything's lumped under collectibles / comic books and memorabilia, and that's where you'll put it. They might tighten it up, comics, comic graphic novels, original art, that type of stuff. We'll talk about that in a minute when you're actually doing it. But you want to put as many things in there as possible. Again, go back to the origin number 3 I've got. We'll go, it's origin number 3. I usually will put the year. If it's a volume, I don't want to take up a lot of room because you only got 80 characters. So I'll say it's like origin V1 number 3. Get it volume 1 so that way people can do it. If it's not in the name, I'll put Marvel. The year. Anything unusual, since Origin doesn't have Wolverine in it, I would put Wolverine in the title. Maybe Wolverine, X-Men, Origin of Wolverine, that type of stuff. And then I try to fit the condition, near mint. Now, the one I'm talking about that we're using, signed. So I'd probably not put as much of the detail. I'd probably put Origin, number 3, signed, Joe Quesada, Andy Kubert, or just Quesada and signed Kubert. And then maybe the if it had a COA in it. This one does not, but you can tell who done did it. Obviously, with a certificate of authenticity, it helps with your signing a little bit better. Or if you actually got a picture of Andy and Joe signing it, you can put it on there. It's all fair game. So the key is the keywords in the title. That'll help you. However, when we get to actually listing things, you'll see there's other item specifics. eBay wants you to put as many of them as possible. That'll help with the search because people don't really look under category. I used to, like, I would go, let's see what kind of Ultraverse books are out there. I'll flip it highest to lowest for my search grid. Can't really do that anymore, but I can type in Ultraverse and then switch categories to comics, and it'll pretty much give me anything that they want. If now comes the description part where you will talk about what is it. I go with KISS, keep it simple, stupid. So for example, origin, I'm going to switch gears. I'm going to use one that I just sold, Kolchak, The Night Stalker number one, a graphic novel from Moonstone from 2002. Based on the TV show, very fine. That's exactly what I put. For my description, this is it. This is for a very fine copy of Kolchak, The Night Stalker number one. That's it. Everything else is in the descriptions. If you want, they can look at the picture. I have one more line. I do free shipping within the USA. Email me before you buy/bid if you have any questions. I don't go crazy like, if you do not pay within 24 hours, I will sic the eBay police on you. I don't have tons of non-things. Like, some stores will have their whole store spiel in their descriptions. I don't. It's just, keep it simple. I figure you know what it is. If there's anything else you need to know, you probably already know it because you're looking for that specific book. You're not just browsing. Again, the item specifics will help. We'll get into that in a little bit. Next thing you want to do is find out, and here's what I do. I tend to be the lowest guy on eBay. So again, for that Kolchak, The Night Stalker, I've seen them as high as $50. Some guy had it for $11.99. Mine's only very fine, so I put it at $9.99 free shipping and sold it. I have something to say about that as we get to the pricing part of the show. But again, this is where I'm able to figure out what the price is. Again, if I got an Action Comics number one, guess what? It's going for a couple mil. Yeah, you could make an offer or whatever. So finding the price is usually easy. You just put it in the search engine, go to the category, look it up, and then they always have that little thing. Like, matter of fact, as long as I'm doing picking on Kolchak, The Night Stalker graphic novel. So I will go up, put it on the actual eBay search window, and then flip over to the all category and put it under collectibles, and then hit search. And now they come up. Before I do anything, I go to best match, or over on the right, there's a thing where you can switch how the pricing is. Best match, which I hate. Ending soonest, irrelevant. Newest listed, doesn't matter. Price plus shipping lowest. Price plus shipping highest. Those seem to be the most useful. So for me, the lowest. And right now, some guy's got it at $6.50. Or does he? Now here's where you got to go into it. So he's got it $6.50 plus $4.16. And his is only very good. If you look at the pictures, you can tell. Corners are a little rough. It's no wonder I sold mine very fine for $9.99 because I had it listed very fine and I had it at $9.99. Again, people will search that way. They understand if you're charging, say you're only selling it for $1, but you're charging $5 shipping, it's $6. People aren't stupid. I always offer free shipping because I put it in the price of the comic. That's why I'm always... Well, that's why I tend to sell a lot of comics on eBay. Now, there are tricks as well, because you may find something that you just can't find on the eBays. That tells you one of two things. First of all, it may be a forbidden book. Double check. Make sure you're not selling a bad book. And again, you should be able to tell by looking at it. Yeah, Cherry Pop-Tart probably won't get priced on eBay anymore. But sometimes you're going to find something that it's just not on eBay, and it's just impossible to find. And excuse me while I'm digging through my eBay section. While I'm doing this, I'm digging through the actual comics. It's a good idea to have a workspace somewhere so you can not only have your comics that you're ready to sell, alphabetized, numerical, ready to go, just like your collection. I've got tape, I've got my scissors, I went out and bought a U.S. postal scale We'll get to that when we talk to shipping. But everything I need is right here, so I'm ready to go. So I'm going to use for an example. It's called A Few Bricks Shy Small Collection by S. Anthony Garner. Done in 97. It's signed limited. Number 34 of 400. I could not find this anywhere. However, there are other places you can search. One of the things you can look is, say, after you put something in, like say I mentioned that Koshak before, go all the way over to where it says advanced on the top thing of your eBay page, and you can go into advanced, and then you come up with advanced search. This will help you in a couple ways. If you want to see what they sold for, look straight down. There's a little thing, sold listings. So you can hit the button, and now it'll tell you what these things have actually sold for. Hey, look, there's the one I sold for $9.99. Now the guy, $6.99 with shipping. $5.99 plus shipping, that type of thing. So this will give you a good idea what they've sold for in the past. You can price yours accordingly. So say there were no other, well, for example, A Few Bricks Shy. There were none on eBay. And it's signed limited. Hey, let's go nuts. $50. And I had it on eBay for $50. Well, before you go nuts, there's a couple other things you want to do. Check Amazon. This is actually good, especially when you do graphic novels and books. Because you may not be the only person on eBay selling a particular copy of something. And say it's a $9.99 rare book out of print. Well, maybe go $200. Well, somebody on Amazon might have it for $75. People who buy online generally look around. So they're not going to necessarily buy yours just because it's the cheapest on eBay. They might just, you know what, I'll buy it from Amazon. I don't want to, but I will. Something to consider. Maybe you want to put yours at $69.99. In the case of A Few Bricks Shy, they're not on Amazon. So I went one other place. I Googled the title with the creator on it. And I found out you can still find them for about $20. I think I don't know if you're buying it direct from him or just whoever bought these up. So I put mine on the eBays for $20, free shipping. Sometimes you're just not going to find anything. I tell the story a while back where I had the Spawn number one black and white. I believe it was a 1 in 10 or 1 in 20 variant when you bought Spawn number 56. When I put mine on eBay, could not find them anywhere. They weren't any in the sold or were any otherwise. From there, I went and I looked at some of the comic guides. I usually recommend, if you're using Golden Age, Silver Age, Overstreet's a great price guide to have. Not good for pricing, because they never pick up the hot books. He's always dealing with what's sold, not what something is. Atomic Avenue's a little bit better, because they actually list everything, especially when you're looking at all the different types of variant covers and things like that. And it'll give you a near min price. In this case, they listed it at like $200. And I was like, you're kidding me. Could not find it anywhere else. So I put mine up on eBay. I believe did I go $300 on that? I don't know. I just put it up and I got two emails right away and it's sold. Same guy. Is this honestly a black and white Spawn variant number one? And then he said, you know, your feedback is great. I'll trust you on it. And I sold it. I think it was probably $200 because it was a while back. I only paid $2 for the thing. So I did fine on it. So you want to be careful with that. The other reason you want to search eBay before you list something, eBay tends to be a great, indicator if something's hot. And I've talked about this in the past. Avenging Spider-Man number 9, I think it was. That's the one where Carol Danvers first called herself Captain Marvel. And it was silly money. All the other ones around it are whatever. But if you looked on the price guides, they didn't reflect that that was a hot book. Therefore, buyer beware. Actually, seller will be very happy when he sees you put yours up for a mere $5 plus shipping. So always double check that. That's why when I did my big comic purge in 2018, it took me 2 years to do, because I went through and I just double checked that. And you want to keep an eye on that because I think even during that time, was it Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, the first Spider-Gwen or whatever she's calling herself now, went ballistic, or was ballistic. But the other one, Batman 313, the first Tim Fox, who's one of the Batmen now, book from the 70s, nobody cared about. I sold mine for a quarter, I swear I did, before Dark Knight. And now it's, I think the last one I sold was like a beat-up copy for $100. Just crazy. So always double check your prices. Look it up on eBay. It takes time, but it's well worth it. We've got everything ready to go. I'm just going to, what you want to do, if you haven't already, this is kind of a follow along thing. I have it already loaded on my machine. So for me, it's a little easier. But when you're ready to sell, you go right to the main eBay page. So you got your account set up. You're all ready to go. And then you're able to go to sell. Now from sell, it'll come up and it'll ask you some things. But for the most part, excuse me while I get this prepared. The good old Cray 5000 here just isn't working here. So you're ready to rock. You get right to that first page where it says, here it is. Corey can edit this if he wants. I like the blanks. This, I'm just doing this raw. So here we go. You're right on top. It'll start off right away with photos. So I always put up my own photos. We've talked about the photos. So you put that up. Underneath is title. And again, be as specific as you can. You got 80 characters to use. You don't necessarily want to be superfluous. For example, if you're selling a Marvel team up number 5, you don't need to put that it was from Marvel. For my example, let's pick on, let me find a book we all know and love. All right, here we go. I'm going to do a Vampirella Volume 5, number 12, red tinted variant cover. So I've got my picture up, and I'm just, because it's a newer book and it's near mint, I just did the one. If it wasn't, I might put a little close-up. In the case of a signed book, I would take pictures of the signature. In case of a certificate of authenticity, I'd put all that stuff up. So in the title, I put Vampirella V5 for Volume 5, number 12, 1.15, because I knew it's a 1 in 5 variant. Now looking in the back, I should say Dynamite books are great because they list all the variant covers in back. At least they do now. Some of the early ones they didn't. It's an FOC, Final Order Cutoff, red tinted variant cover T. So I put all that on there for people to look up. I did not put, for whatever reason, the cover artist, because you can put that down below. I also put it was 2020, Dynamite near mint. I don't use subtitles. Underneath it, you have the subtitle for $2. You can, you can't. If it's worth a subtitle, it probably is. But for the most part, especially with item specifics, I don't see any reason to. Not for $2. If eBay lowered it to $1, maybe. Item category, here's where you pick. Mine is comics and graphic novels. Anytime you need to edit, it's over onto the right-hand side. Now you get into item specifics. And this is where you put in all the details that eBay will use when buyers put these in and say, I'm looking for this. So series title, Vampirella. Character, Vampirella. Superhero team, none. Again, if you're putting up a JLA book, Justice League, you can put Justice League, Justice League Dark, Justice League International. If you want to put all the characters that are on the cover, Superman, Batman, whoever, I think you can fit 6. So in this case, it's just Vampirella. Next up is era, modern age. Which, and they break it down really nice. Modern age for them is 85 to now. Following that is publication year. That's something where I probably don't need to put that in the listing. I could probably put it a little better. Don't really have volume 5 anywhere. So, again, you'll get certain mileage. I still have 10 characters to go on my title, so I could go back and add stuff if I want. Next up, format, single issue. Publisher, Dynamite. Universe. I don't even put the universe. The only time I put universe is like Ultraverse, DC Comics, Marvel Comics, Imageverse, whatever. Type graphic novel, comic book, book, whatever. It's a comic book, so I go with that. Now, here's where I put the artist writer. There's two ways to do this. One, I use Atomic Avenue to look it up. They're easy to figure out who is involved with it. If it's one of those big annuals where tons of people are on it, maybe just pick the highlight names, or you could just put various. In this case, I've got down Christopher Priest, Ergun Gündüz, and Giovanni Tapano, because they were listed in Atomic Avenue. You can also open the book and look at it. In the case of some of these Dynamic Forces sealed books where you don't necessarily want to break the seal, it's another great way to do it. I never use the grade, which is the following thing, because I don't want people, well, you said it was 9.6 and I went and had a blah CGC and blah, blah, blah. I said it was near mint. If it's graded with an actual grade, I would put that. But I've always put the grade in the title. I put it in the description. People are going to decide for themselves. That's also another question for you, and you could probably answer it. Excuse me. But depending on what you have, did you get it CGC or did you not get it CGC? That will add to the cost. I don't CGC anything because anything I had that was worth CGCing has probably been sold already. But if I did sell something, if I knew it was expensive, I would look to see about, like, well, I just bought a She-Hulk one at the last MCBA show. Do I want to slab it? No, not really. But if I did decide to sell it, I would consider slabbing it. It adds costs, it adds time. There are tons of slab She-Hulks. That's the other reason I didn't do it. And again, there's people weird like me that just want, I don't know, just a raw copy is what they call it. So again, CGC or not, totally up to you. Next, there's tradition. They only give you two options, UK Comics, US Comic. I've been putting US Comics. I mean, I haven't sold any of my UK Comics. Features. Now, here's where you get to get creative, because here's where you put things for in case the Vampire we have. I have two variant cover, red tint. They give you all sorts of stuff. Red, the different printings. Is it a first edition? Is it an annual? Is it a collector edition? Double edition, dust jacket, whatever. You can put as many features as you want. Anything you think that's important. You can add your own, like when I sell those aforementioned high-end Dynamite Comics, I'll put high-end things like that. But whatever's the key is, you definitely want to put it. Underneath that is genre. For this, I put three. Adventures, Bad Girl, Horror, Sci-Fi. Oh, I'm sorry, I put a fourth one. Supernatural as well. Anything that you think will worth. I also put in things like TV tie-in, movie adaptation. Country, region, and manufacturer, I don't use because I have no idea where the comics are published. A lot of them are probably done in Canada, but not relevant. Unit of sale, single unit. This is where you would put, is it a comic book lot? Is it a mixed lot? Is it two of something? Just a single one. Story title, I haven't used mainly because I guess it's to me, it's up in the title. But people can put it, you can put like Absolute Batman, Long Halloween. If it's part of Inferno tie-in, Infernal, but I don't use it. When you get to signed, in this case, well, with the origin, I'd say yes, and then what'll pop up, it'll say who's it signed by. They also will ask who it's certified by, but you cannot put Dynamic Forces. It's only certain people they'll allow, which is why I put the picture in a Dynamic Forces certificate there. Next one up, variant type. And here's where you, for the one we're talking about, the Vampirella, I put incentive variant and cover variant T because I knew it was that because of looking in the back of the Dynamite book. Other things that I put up are virgin variant if it has no logo on it, a blank cover variant, corner cover variant. It could be a DC jumbo pack variant, a diamond retailer, a retailer exclusive. Like when I sold the comics that I had that were the source ones. If the autograph is personalized, here's where you can put yes, no. Style, is it in colors, in black and white, whatever. I never use is it vintage or not, because that's a I don't think matters in comics. Language, English. Again, if you sell other types of foreign comics, things like that. And it also helps for people that are buying from overseas. If this is a specific comic event, you have a section for that where you can put, yeah, this was from San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, whatever. Intended audience, I don't usually use. If you put fewer discretion advised or adult only, that kind of flags you down. And I don't think, for most part, unless you're selling like My Little Pony, it doesn't really matter. They have something called a California Proposition 65 warning, which is I'm just going to read it. It's California Proposition 65 requires businesses to provide warnings to Californians about significant exposure to chemicals, blah, 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 blah. Irrelevant. Custom bundle. If I were to put together like just a bunch of 100-page DCs, maybe. Issue number. Yes. Underneath this, now you get to condition. When it pops up, you have a couple brand new, which I never use, because if you put like new, then you can put description. In this case, I put near mint and dash. It's a 1 in 15th variant. If there was any damage, I would put ding in left corner, printer smudge, crease on the back cover, whatever. It doesn't matter. Never put see description. eBay will flag you on that if you put it in the title. Sometimes if you put it in the description, because they want you to put it right up there. Now for the description. I already talked about that. This is for a near mint copy of Vampirilla 12, Volume 5, 1 in 15, FOC, red tinted, incentive variant cover T. I do free shipping within the USA. Email me before you buy if you have any questions. Now, I don't have an eBay store at the moment, but when I did, I would put in stop in and check out my eBay store with lots of crazy, cool comics and collectibles with new stuff being added regularly. Underneath, you got the price and quantity. Obviously, if you got more than one, you can choose to do that. Put in the price that you've determined, because you've already done that. When you get to offers, you can allow people to send you offers, or you can not. I only use this if it's something that I want to just blow out and I don't care, or if it's over a certain price point. I say that because when we get to shipping, which is next, for a $10 item, you're going to spend about $4 or $5 shipping. Now, if I had bought that Kolchak, as I mentioned before, at cover price, I already lost money on that. I might have gotten it off one of those $1 deals, which is why I didn't mind selling it for $10. But this is where I find that things that are priced under $10 to $15 just aren't really economical anymore. Because remember, eBay takes a chunk. PayPal will take a chunk. I include my shipping charge within it, so that's going to be gone. And there's other things as well when we get to packing. You know, I spend a buck or so for packing. So that's a lot of expense there, right there. So generally anything under $10 is probably not worth my effort anymore. Scheduled start time, I just do mine immediate. Now for shipping policies, I just do mine free shipping. eBay does have a program called Global Shipping, which allows you, I think it's Global Shipping, might be International Shipping, they might have changed it, but what it does is you sign up for it, and first of all, it offers this to all the eBays worldwide, and if I'm in Sam in Germany and I see they're selling, I'm selling this copy of Vampirilla number 12, the FOC red tin cover. Now, at the time I had it up, I had it for a mere $6.99 with free shipping. Obviously, now I probably wouldn't, but what that does is for the guy looking at the foreign country, he sees that eBay is going to tell him, this will cost you $25 to ship to you. And eBay ships it. I don't know how they ship it. They ship it fast, and they ship it with tracking. And what do I get charged? I get charged nothing. I don't even collect the $20. That goes directly to eBay. All I do is when they buy it, I ship it to eBay's shipping center, which I think is in Kansas City, just like I do anything else for free. And they take care of shipping it. The advantage you have is that There's no negative. If they get it on the other hand and they don't like it, they can't leave negative feedback. And then there's no chargeback. This came in so handy when I sent a poor gentleman about $225 worth of those rare Dynamite Red Sonja variants, including a couple of the high-end ones with the, you know, movies. Anyways, it went to his country. His post office couldn't deliver it. They sent it back to eBay, and it disappeared. He was a kind gentleman. He contacted me, said, hey, what do we do? I said, tell eBay there's a problem. They will refund you. They don't charge back me either, because eBay will take the hit if it goes to a foreign country and doesn't get delivered the way it's supposed to. And that, to me, this was the acid test, and eBay came through with flying colors. So I definitely recommend doing the global shipping. And they're reasonable. I mean, they charge only like $15 to go to Canada, so it's not like you do it yourself. The nice thing about doing it with eBay is then everything's there. When you're ready to ship, you look it up, you put in the package dimensions, the weight, and they will automatically pop up a label for you. You just print it out on your printer and attach it to the package. It is ready to go. The one thing I will mention, though, try not to use media shipping. The reason why is because the post office will, and on occasions has, open up your package to see, are you shipping something that qualifies for media mail, or are you just trying to slip in a comic book? Comic books do not qualify because they're second-class mail. Back when they used to mail comics, they're just like magazines. Why they still have second-class mail, I don't know, because not many people buy it. Well, I guess a few magazines are here and there. But comics will always be second-class mail, even though they may be golden age. So if they find it, they'll send it back to you, and then you got to do it again. The other thing what's nice about eBay labels is you can compare. This comes in handy when you're mailing something heavy, because a lot of times the post office, USPS, United States Post Office, is not the cheapest. But you can compare FedEx, you can compare UPS. For me, because I'm in a metro area, I just can have it. They print the label for UPS or FedEx, and then I go drop it off. You know, there's a FedEx, used to be a Kinko's nearby. About a mile away, there's a UPS drop place. So it's taken care of. It's so easy. It's so easy to do. I definitely recommend doing it. For shipping, don't go cheap. For comic books, I always use the Gemini shippers. You get them from Gemini. You can get them off Amazon. If you go Uline, it's the S165. It adds anywhere from 75 cents to a dollar of your cost of goods sold. So again, a $10 listing, $5 shipping, $1 that. I'm not even counting my handling or time, because it takes time to get this stuff onto the eBays. That's why I probably won't be selling anything under $10-$15 anymore on the eBay. It's just, for me, it's not economical to do. Some people will add extra cardboard with the Gemini shippers. I usually don't, because they're mighty fine shippers to begin with. They also, anytime you add extra weight, it causes the price to go up. I don't insure things unless it's something over $100. Like, again, the aforementioned Origin comic, I had it, I think, for like $75, make an offer. If it was over $100, like some of these high-end covers that I can't sell anymore, at least the booby ones, I will buy. I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for the insurance. Same thing like when I get around to selling some statues that I have. I'm not, you know, if it gets damaged, you know, UPS, FedEx are generally pretty good with taking care of. Postal Service, a little more strenuous. You got to actually give them the item and give it up to them, whatever. But it's up to you. If you're going to charge shipping, you're going to lose out. If you're going to charge insurance, again, you don't want to be the most expensive guy on eBay for something that's common. You got something that's really unique, piece of Jack Kirby art, hey, knock yourself out. For shipping, I got in the habit of shipping things the next day. eBay likes it when you do these certain things, because then they'll, if you become a top seller, they'll give you a little kickback here and there on fees, which is kind of cool. But to me, it was just a habit. I want to get that thing in the mail. I don't want to buy something and have to wait a week before the guy gets around to selling it. I don't have a store yet. I'm probably going to get one. eBay allows you 250 listings free. So until you reach that threshold, it's probably not worth doing. Once you have the store, they give you more listings free, and then they lower their fee because they're going to charge you for the store. I think I was a mid-tier store, which I believe was $70 a month. And it was worthwhile because the store gives you certain options. Like you can set up your own categories. You get more detailed. You get a header page. You can do promotions. You can add coupons. You get all sorts of fun things you can do. You can promote listings. When you want to go on vacation, you can do that. Things like that. In terms of payment, we already talked about, I just do PayPal, let payments get managed by eBay. There's other ways you can do it, especially if you got Square, you got your own credit card set up. Returns, I always accept returns. I allow 30 days because eBay likes it that way. Some people don't do returns, but you know, the problem is they can always lie and say, yeah, this was not like I expected. And then you're going to have to cough up a return. Generally, you don't give them their money back until they ship them the item to you. I haven't had any real problems with, oh no, I sent out an X-Men number one and they sent me back a Jim Lee X-Men number one, not what, whatever. And there's some things like for, say, the Kohl's Shack, say for whatever reason it doesn't get there or it gets there and he decides, this is really suck. Well, I pay for the return. I probably just say, you know what? I'll give you a refund. Keep it. Just give me some free feedback. Speaking of feedback, I always leave feedback. Sellers can only leave positive. You're going to get a negative here and there or a neutral. You can respond. I generally try to keep it straight. Like I had one guy, oh, you sent me something not what it described. It's damaged. It's a terrible, terrible buy. I wrote, sorry for my mistake. I do offer returns. Now it makes him look like he's an idiot. If you got something you don't like, all he wanted to do is bitch about it. I think he was perfectly happy with it. He just wanted to complain. Whatever. You don't want to tit for tat because then it gets bad. And also when you leave feedback, I generally wait until they send me one and then I'll send it to them. I do a packing list, which is something when you get to the ready to print, you can do. And of course on the back, I always have our flyer for the Crazy Comics and Story with a very beautiful picture of me. And then of course that old rat bastard's on it as well. So I'm advertising the show. And then the printing slip helps because if your package does get lost by the post office, they can open up and see, oh, it's supposed to go to this guy or it's supposed to go back to you if they muffed their address. Very rarely have I had packages returned, but it's always a plus. If you get a guy who does not pay, I give him a week. In a week after that, I send them an invoice notice or a reminder because you go to eBay and say, well, you have a problem? Yeah, he hasn't paid. Okay, send a reminder. After that, I'll initiate a no-buyer thing, and that's when eBay starts sending, hey, you didn't pay for this. You know, you're supposed to buy it. It's a binding contract, yada, yada, yada. So that's pretty much it on the eBays. Like I said, I've started out again. Let's take a peek here as long as I'm poking around the old eBays. Again, I know I went through this really, really fast. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to contact me. You can contact me through my eBay listing, which is Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. You can contact me through the address at Corey List or contact me through Facebook. The nice thing about the podcast is hopefully you can stop, rewind, listen to something I might have blown through. Because again, I'm trying to keep this under an hour because it's just me. And when you're listening to just one person, it can get boring. But hopefully you found it interesting enough. Again, right now I got about 164 items on eBay right now. When I hit that 250 mark, hopefully soon, I will probably go into a store and then just reorganize everything. And hopefully I don't get kicked off again. I promise eBay. Look, I got my right hand crossed. I will not put any boobies on the eBays. By the way, if you're interested in any of those high-end variant covers that have some very attractive art on it from Dynamite, I'm just blowing them out at cost. And, you know, as I always offer for all you fans of the show, if you buy something or you see something, let me know. Even if you watch something, that's what's cool on eBay. If somebody watches something, it allows me to send an offer to that person. So just like now somebody offered or somebody who was watching a book I had for $50, I said, hey, you want it for 40? He doesn't have to say yes or no. He can ignore it, or he can just say no right away. A lot of times people buy it. That's why if you see something you're interested in, always hit the watch, because if they're on their ball, they might send you an offer. They send you an offer you can't refuse. Of course, for you, all you have to do is send me a listing and say, hey, you know that book you got for, you know, $30? Would you take 25? And I say, how dare you? I insist you take it for 20. Hey, because that's me. I'm crazy. You know who isn't crazy? These guys are sponsors.
Our newest sponsor is NordVPN. Let's be honest, if you're out on the internet, you need a VPN to protect you. There's all sorts of things going on the internet where people can track you, you could accidentally download a keylogger, all sorts of things. NordVPN gives the best security possible. It has a password manager which generates complex passwords, syncs across all your devices, stores your notes and credit card information. It also gives you 10 gigabytes of private cloud storage, secure files. It backs up your data automatically. But the main thing it gives you is peace of mind. It gives you peace of mind when you're out on the internet, when you're streaming, when you're playing games, when you're listening to podcasts like this one. It gives you safety anywhere at any time. It protects your online activity. You get full access to all content. And if you use the link go.nordvpn.net/SH3KU, it'll take you to where you can get a great deal for a 1 month plan, a 2 year plan, a 1 year plan. They are our newest sponsor. We're happy to have them. And if you would like to sponsor something here at any of the podcasts on the Solitaire Rose Network, you can. Just email me, solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
And if that isn't enough, here are some podcasts that the Strode does on his own.
The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, KRAYZCOMIX, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks.
And now it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show. No, not where I sit down and I recant everything I just did on the eBays for you, which I probably will do on the geeking. It's Freaking and Geeking, and I'll start with myself because I'm here. For me, just, I don't want to get too down, but boy, it's just got to be getting old. But I have friends with cancer. I have friends who've lost spouses. I've known people who are like, oh, I don't want to talk to this person because I'm mad at them. But life's too short for that bullshit. Just be kind to one another. reach out to someone if you haven't talked to them again. Because when they're gone, you may regret it. Or they might be a true goody-two-sprat bastard who doesn't share pie and pictures of naked pictures of Christina Hendricks. And you won't care one way or another. But that's really all I'm freaking on. I just keep it short, sweet. Corey, here's what I'm geeking on today. I went to the Toy Peddlers show last weekend. And again, it's mostly toys. Oh, I saw some things I was so tempted to get. But I behaved myself because our Black Friday Geekathon's coming up. I bought a John Constantine DC Direct figure, which I don't recall ever seeing. The cool thing about it, in the background, it has an exclusive English comic book. And I have no idea if my buddy Jerome Wanker is listening. But if you want that comic, it's yours. You know, he used to collect all the DC comics. And I don't think he does anymore. But I got that figure. I picked up a bunch of comics for a buck. I'm just going to read them off quick. I got the Aquaman 80th Anniversary Super Page Special. I found another Justice League of America number one back when they had all the flags on the cover. This is the one that Geoff Johns and David Finch did. I found the Minnesota cover. I picked up the first five issues of the Ghost Rider. And I can't quite tell which one it is. This is done by Percy Smith and Valenza. So I got those I can read. I found a run of Infinite Frontier, which I don't recall reading, although I bet you I have it. But for a buck a piece, who cares? Star Wars The Last Jedi, the entire run, and then a couple one-shots. Sea Bear and Grizzly Shark, they got mixed up. And then a copy of the Joker 80th Anniversary 100-page Super Special. So that was kind of fun. Speaking of shows, I'll just kind of drop these in because there's a lot of shows that are coming up. So we've got the Twin Cities Con 2022 coming up. And I'm going to jump over to their website because it's from Nerd Street Presents. And it's going to be, as I mentioned, November 11th through the 13th. Tons of guests. Go to their website, TwinCitiesCon.com. Mick Foley, cast of Power Rangers, Phil LaMarr. A lot of these are also signed photo opportunities, so you can get in on that. Tickets are on sale now. They're taking in volunteers. It'll be down Minneapolis at the convention center. I probably won't get to go, but if you do, let us know, and I'd love to get a report from you about what happened. So I tell you, man, working weekends. Let's see. Beyond that, there's the Minnesota Comic Exchange Presents Comic Show, the 19th. That's not the same weekend, is it? No, that's the weekend afterwards. And that will be at the Valley Creek Mall in Woodbury. Tables are sold out, but it's free admission. It's in the mall. So just come on in, wander through. And last time there were tons of stuff there. Key, get there maybe 8:30 because it's an open mall. They're open for breakfast, and you can shop as soon as the guys are set up. The aforementioned Minnesota Toy Posse is going to have their next sale November 27th back at the Bloomington Events Center in Bloomington, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., free admission. Tables are already sold out. However, if you want, get on the list. I know last time there were a couple blank tables, so hopefully you can join them. And, of course, MiniCon, April 9th, 7th, 9th, 2023 in Minneapolis, where our damn fine, handsome man, Greg Ketter, is going to be fan guest of honor. Reading-wise, I finished up The New Mutants, which we talked about. I read Annihilation and Annihilation Conquest. What an amazing science fiction story. I remember reading this when it came out. Much, much better reading it in crossover, or in the order it's meant to be read. And there were so many details in it that I missed. Like, I guess the Beyonder is trapped inside a body and they put him in the kiln and then Annihilus got a hold of him, at least the power essence. The Conquest series, of course, dealt with the only complaint I have about that is this big surprise of that was, yeah, everybody's being affected by the technovirus, but that Ultron was behind it. I'm not giving away anything because he's on the cover of the book. Matter of fact, somebody who came back goes, whoa, is that Ultron? And I'm like, ugh. Yeah, you gave away the entire surprise. And usually when I read this stuff, I'll go back and I'll try to figure out, like, what happened to the young lady that was bopping around with Drax. Because I don't recall seeing her again. Well, apparently she died. Found this on Marvel Wikipedia. So again. And then they also list where she died. Did not know about the Beyonder being trapped. Sometimes concepts that hit just kind of over my head. Then I also had to figure out how the hell did Ultron get to where he was. So that was fun to read. I finished those, and those were a blast, just reading them in order. I'm currently reading Inferno, the X-Men crossover, that crossover with everything. And I figured a decent way to read these books, because oftentimes what it is you've got, like in World War Hulk, you got the main series and then all the crossovers. And by the time you start reading the crossovers, you're kind of like, well, I've already read how this ends. Why do I want to read anything else? So what I usually do is I'll read up and not finish the last issue. And Inferno was great because it had a couple different endings and different plots, but there was always somebody going a little deeper and messing things up a little more. And I don't have it with me. I was going to ask. Somebody's like, why wasn't Doctor Strange involved? And I think he was involved, but at the same time, the dreaded Dormammu, whatever, you know who he is, the guy with the flame head. He had invaded Earth because something invalidated his thing to not have to claim Earth anymore. And so he was doing it while Inferno was going on. Doctor Strange was busy dealing with that. The Doctor Strange issue in question, I think, was it Sorcerer Supreme or something, did not actually have the Inferno crossover logo on it. But so anyway, so I'll read up until that last final issue, and then I'll just read all the other crossovers, and then I'll go back and read the final issue. So that's how I deal with it. But it's a lot of fun. Boy, a lot of this stuff, I just don't remember. I don't remember half of the New Mutants' involvement in Inferno. It was kind of neat because, you know, they had the Exterminators were part of it. The X-Men were part of it. Everybody was, like, fighting a different part. Spider-Man was involved. Avengers were involved. Not everybody was involved with the main fight. They were just dealing with the aftermath. Kind of like when Thor and Surtur attacked. And, well, Surtur did the attacking. But it was like all of a sudden there was snow over all of Manhattan. Some dealt directly with it, like fighting demons. Other ones were just, hey, it's a weird snowstorm. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So I'm having a lot of fun reading these crossovers, and especially when they're all in line. I am enjoying the weather here in Minnesota. We had some great fall temperatures after we got out of the below 30, or we wasn't below 30, but it was 30 degrees, which was 20 degrees below. But now, well, even as we talk, we're going to have a couple 70-degree days. Poor Corey's on assignment, so you'll miss them all. But don't worry, things will change. We also had a beautiful Halloween. This is the first time I've been home in Halloween for the longest time. And I enjoyed the living bejesus out of it because I was able to do some quick decorating. My daughter borrowed me a bunch of stuff. Some of the normal everyday things I had, like I have this little flashing light you use as a warning out on the, if you get stranded in your car. Well, I put one of these big spider webs up with a garden spider that my wife has in front of it. And then at night when it got dark, it was flashing. Oh, what a spooky effect. I have these light bulbs that we have in our over our fireplace that sparkle like fire, and I glued them in, and they just look so cool when things went dark. Where they dug up the tree, they actually cut the tree down. It was diseased 3 years ago. They dug the stump up, leaving a huge circle of dirt. I put some gravestones in it. Looked like it's freshly dug. I didn't do any jack-o'-lanterns, but I did do some pumpkins. And the funny thing is the squirrels attacked them immediately, which made them look even more gruesome. And then there's also ants all over them. So nature will reclaim their own. We've got them now just out away from the house so that the squirrels and ants can finish them up in a couple weeks, unless it snows. And you remember, we talked about that Halloween snowstorm where woke up one morning to 2 feet of snow. That wasn't predicted. Although when it came down, we realized, yeah, they messed up the forecast. So we had a lot of people. We gave away full-size candy bars. We ran out of candy. We gave away tons. We had, the little bars for backup. And, of course, when a young kid came up, I'd give him the smaller candy bar because, I don't know, don't want a kid on a sugar high or post-sugar nap. Did not give away any comics. I was going to start sorting through my free comic day comics and all that and try to give away the ones that I'm not interested in. I think next year I'm just going to buy some of those Halloween Havoc comics. I'll just talk to a local store and say, hey, could you get me like 50 of these things and just stuff them in bags? Because I know the one year I gave away comics, I think it was after, a couple times after I sold the shop, and then even after my comic purge, I had like a huge box of like Archies and things like that. Kids just like, oh, man, they're comic books. They actually love that. So that was kind of fun. I saw some people that are giving away little toys, like the little gumball type toys you get. And I don't have enough to do that, but who knows? I keep searching. I may find some fun stuff. So next year will be a lot of fun for Halloween.
Done, bitches!